It is October. You guys think we've seen the last of the 70-degree days?
One or two might pop up, but I'm happy to have the crisp fall season.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
it's nice. Right now, we are right in the middle of... Actually, I think we're past the middle of. I think we're heading towards the end of KRFY's online auction. And if I have the time later on in the program, I'll tell you a little bit more about that. But I will just say it's our biggest fundraising event of the year. A bunch of our supporters have already been so generous as to donate items, and the proceeds from the auction goes entirely to keeping this non-profit, non-commercial, independent radio station on the air. So, what you could do is go and check it out. Maybe you see something there that you like and you want to make a bid. You might get a pretty cool deal on something, and even if you don't end up winning, your bid helps make the radio station more sustainable and keeps us going. So thank you very much for checking out our online auction at www.biddingforgood.com/KRFY, or you can go to krfy.org, our website, and follow the links that way. And then one last programming note. I will be participating in probably my most listened to show, my most regularly listened to show, and you never hear my voice during it. I just sit in the room, but it's the most popular thing that I participate in here at the radio station. Our friendly guest DJ Viggo Mortensen is going to be here afternoon at 1 o'clock. He's got a brand new set of tunes that he's picked out, and he will be DJing. And I'll be the one you don't hear in the room who helps with a little bit of engineering stuff, but he makes the song choices himself, and the commentary is all his, and he does a very good job with it, I have to say.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. That's today from 1 to 3 p.m., and if you aren't the kind of person who can listen to the radio during the day, you can also catch a rerun tonight. We will air that same show at 7 o'clock tonight. Okay, that's what's going on here at KRFY. We are in conversation with Cass Roberts and Michael Nickerson this morning. You guys are co-presidents. Is that the title?
Yeah, that's what we're going with.
Yeah, okay. Let's go with that. Yeah. For the morning, you're the co-president of the board of Sandemonium. I guess the place to start is, for those of us who aren't familiar, what is Sandemonium?
Well, it's utter pandemonium in Sandpoint, obviously.
Obviously.
Look, Jack, first of all, thank you so much for having us on here today. I'm so glad we're able to save you from your loneliness. Everybody else bailed on you. I'm Cass, and then this is Michael here.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, Mike.
Michael's been working on Sandemonium a lot longer than I have, but it's basically a fandom convention that started with just a lot of nerds showing up at the library 10 years ago, and it grew into something bigger and better than anyone ever imagined, including things like a cosplay contest, a flourishing minifigure painting community, and then a tabletop gaming community who just loves to get together, game, nerd out, and we actually do a Mario Kart video game tournament as well. So we're hitting a lot of different themes, a lot of different fandoms. Bring it all. Like, if you're a fan of something, if you've got a crazy outfit, if you've got good swag, if you want to come play a new game with some friends, show up at the library on October 11th for Sandemonium X. Is the 10. And we're celebrating our 10th birthday of Sandemonium. We're super stoked.
Okay. You made the X with your arms there.
I did. Yes. I know, we're on radio, sorry.
People couldn't see that?
Sorry, but she really did. Yeah, she really did do it. It's been going on for 10 years. Can you tell me, Michael, I guess maybe you're the person to ask about the early days, kind of, I guess, how it came together.
The first year I showed up, the event was at the library. I was just a participant. I didn't know anything about it. I just heard that there was a nerd con at the library, and I was like, well, I gotta check that out. Me and my kids went, and we had a blast. It was a lot of fun. And after that, I was like, this is something I want to see in the community. I want to do this again. This was a ton of fun. It became a big thing for me and my family. My kids would come and volunteer. I'd volunteer. And in relatively short order, the current board was like, you got to come on board. We want you on the board. They started me out as a volunteer coordinator, and then they just kept heaping stuff on until, well, here we are, co-president. So, yeah, it started at the library, and it kind of expanded from there. It got so big that the library said, you know, maybe find another venue. It ended up over at the Forest Bird Middle School for years, and then the age of COVID came.
Yes.
We had to pull back a little bit. We did an online event for a year, which was fun.
We did.
And now we've found ourselves back at the library again. Awesome community. The events director, Joyce, over there has been so accommodating and helpful. And yeah, just the entire library staff. They're actually super excited to have us there. They're doing their own events in conjunction with our events.
Yeah.
Bethany over there is going to be doing a rubber duck cosplay contest.
Oh,
and they're
so
doing some.
So, do you cosplay as a rubber duck, or is the rubber duck cosplaying?
The second one.
So, you dress up the rubber ducks.
You dress up the rubber ducks.
Yeah. That's so cool.
It's going to be so fun. And there's like a Pokemon hunt around the library. They're going to hide Pokemon around the library
yes,
for people to find.
I remember that. Yeah.
So, yeah. It's pretty cool.
So many fun activities. We're going to have some arts and crafts too. Last year, we had Tribbles that you could craft on your own. I'm not going to spoil the surprise for this year's craft event, but there's just so much to do. It's a free event. There's no reason not to show up and at least check it out and see if you find your own nerdy niche at the library with
Absolutely.
Us on October 11th. It's going to be a great time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's actually just what I was going to ask. When is it? It's October 11th, and is it all day?
Yeah, from 10 to 4, matching the library's hours pretty much. Mm-hmm. In past years, the first hour or two aren't as hopping. So if you want to come during all the action, you might want to come closer to the end of the day. That's when all the cosplayers are gathering and getting really excited about showing off their works of art and having the judges rate them and dole out the prizes. We'll also be announcing winners of the Mario Kart tournament and the minifigure painting tournament as well at the end of the day. But another huge feature of Sandemonium is the very famous bow that our very own Wesley from the board makes from scratch herself. They are phenomenal. If you've never had steamed buns, do yourself a favor and come experience the magic that is Wesley's bow. Absolutely delicious.
Yeah.
Okay. Within the library, do you guys, where is it going to be? Do you guys take over? What part of the library do you end up taking over?
Pretty close. When you come in, you hang a hard left. The kitchen's right there. We're going to be set up there to do the bake sale stuff. As you go further in, we're going to have a local writer that is going to be doing a creative writing workshop. In one of the rooms, and the main event rooms at the end of the hall are just, oh my gosh, it's crazy in there.
It's Sandemonium.
It is.
X with the arms.
Yeah. She's still doing it. The X was, she's doing it in person. Yeah.
Who came up with the name Sandemonium? Is that known?
So it is not. That predates me. The original creators, I imagine, none of which are still on the board. We sent them out special invitations this year because after 10 years, I mean, we're the little con that could, I think.
Yeah, most definitely.
So we've invited them back this year. We're hoping that they all reappear. But seriously, some of them have moved to Oregon and Alaska and the far-flung corners of the galaxy. So...
yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Hopefully they'll show up and then we can ask them in person.
Right.
Where did Sandemonium come from? We do have a website, too, if you want to learn more about our vision, our mission, everything that we've got going on. You can go to 7bcon.com. That's 7bcon.com to learn more.
Okay. Let me ask you guys some personal questions. What are you going to do at Sandemonium this year? Cass, what's your... what do you look forward to? Are you part of any, are you kind of a volunteer, a host?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. The board, we all pitch in to try to just keep things cranking and running smoothly in general. Mm-hmm. But my official assignment is face painting. So you can come get your face painted by Cass if you so desire. Also free or by donation. We do take donations at this event to support future Sandemonium events. So stop on by and get your face painted. It's kind of fun sometimes to have people come up and ask me to have their face painted in like as a Pokemon or a Star Wars character so that they can kind of fit in with the whole con cosplay vibe.
And oh my gosh, she does amazing work. Don't let her tell you otherwise. She is incredible.
What's your, do you have a specialty? A specialty, a special kind of character or a...
Oh, butterflies are always fun and people love them. But then, I don't know, what else? I've done a lot of Pikachus.
I was going to say, you've done so many things, I was looking through pictures from last year's event, and Joyce, the event director over there, you put a huge butterfly. She got a huge butterfly. She told me after the fact, she's like, you know, I actually went out with it that evening. She's like, I did not wash it off.
Yeah.
I went out into the community. I was so inspired by Sandemonium and all the cosplay.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
And then Michael, what about you?
Oh, and gosh, what do I do? I do all the things.
Yeah, you do all the things.
So most of the board members do kind of have a niche. They kind of, Wesley will be in the kitchen doing the bake sale. Steve's going to be running some game tables. Ethan is like our face man. He's right there at the doors. Me, I kind of just pick up slack. I put out fires. I run around like a crazy person and everyone thinks I'm insane.
Steve emceeing this year or did you get?
So I'm emceeing the primary event, but yes. Steve is emceeing the cosplay contest. He does voices and he's in an improv troupe. Oh, I guess I could plug that too.
Plug whatever you want.
I just found out last night the improv troupe is going to come and do a show with that for us. They're going to be there before the cosplay event. So kind of get people in the mode for cosplay. And yeah, should be a ton of fun.
Oh, yeah. They're a blast. If you've never seen their improv, that they're a new formulation.
Yeah.
But I'm friends with many of the improv artists on that troupe and they are phenomenal.
Yes. Gifted. Fun.
Come check them out at Sandemonium on October 11th from 10 to 4.
You're really good at that.
I know. Mm-hmm. Keep saying it.
Not this weekend, but next.
Correct.
10 to 4 at the East Bonner County Library. You mentioned Joyce. That would be Joyce Jowdy.
That would be.
Of the library. I can't remember what her title is right now. Community outreach or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. Events director. I don't even know exactly. Yeah. Sorry, Joyce.
But what your... I have her card in the next room. We'll get it right.
Magic maker. There you go.
How is your relationship with the library? And do you feel like it's going to be there? Are you, now that you're back at the library, are you there for good? Is it always going to be at the library, you think?
So I'm not going to commit to that. And honestly, I don't think Joyce wants us to. She's already like, wow, this has gotten so big. She's like, are you guys looking at other venues? And I think that at some point we're building momentum. We are, you know, we're rebuilding post-COVID. And I could definitely see a time where we'll be adding vendors, more attractions, more things for the community.
We're certainly confined by the size of the library with what we can do at Sandemonium. We'd like to get back to a full, more con true event with vendors and everything like that. More panels would be amazing.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, this is so intimate and cozy.
We love the library. Gosh, and the library loves us. You asked about our relationship with them. It's easy. It's fun. I think they look forward to our Sandemonium events and we look forward to going into the library every time. So we've got their support, whatever we're able to pull off every year. That being said, we would love to grow like we mentioned earlier, and that's where your donation goes to. We, the board members, this is 100% volunteer time organizing and putting this on. And we will use any funds donated to be able to afford those venue fees, insurance costs, all of those things that come with putting on a massive con event. So anything helps. You can make donations at 7bcon.com or in person at Sandemonium X on October 11th from 10 to 4.
I know in the past, I remember you guys have done somebody with Sandemonium has done sort of a mini con halfway through the year.
Yeah.
Does that still happen?
We did Sandemonium Light when we were getting our feet back underneath us right after COVID. And that's when we really bare bones did. I think we pretty much just did cosplay and board games.
Yeah.
We also did a bake sale event to get some funds together to be able to afford to do that Sandemonium Light event. So absolutely, we are constantly brainstorming. When can we fit in another Sandemonium Light? Coordinating calendars, making sure that we can pull it off with the library. And if you, listener, have an idea for a Sandemonium event or con event that you'd like to see, we'd love to hear from you. We're always accepting applications for new board members. It's a labor of love, but we have a really good time doing what we do. And if you think of something that you'd like to see happen, we'd love to support that vision for you, too.
Absolutely.
You guys, the two of you, what's your fandom? What are you going to...
You go ahead.
Cass, do you go
put
in
you
costume?
On the spot.
Will
go
you be
it.
In costume?
Well, last year I was 8 months pregnant.
My gosh, her
so
costume was amazing.
I don't know if I could beat last year's cosplay.
No, that would be a hard one to beat.
I went as Fat Thor. It was really fun.
So good.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not sure. I have a Spyro onesie, so I might just dress up as one of my favorite video games ever from childhood is Spyro the Dragon. So I might just dress up as him, keep it easy. That being said, now I have a one-year-old, so things are a little bit busy. But yeah, I love Star Trek. My husband, Ethan on the board, he is the biggest Star Wars nerd. Our dog is named Wicket. For those of you who know, you know. And we just enjoy anime in general. You know, Cowboy Bebop is one of my all-time favorites. And... yeah, a lot of nerdiness in my household. Board games, tabletop games, D&D, give it to me. Yeah.
Right.
How about you, Michael?
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, a lot of the same. I think I've, been a part of every fandom at some point or another.
It feels that way sometimes.
Yeah. I don't watch anime as much as I used to. But, gosh, I role play all the time. So, you know, Dungeons and Dragons, among many others.
Pathfinder.
Yeah.
All the TTRPG stuff.
All the TTRPG stuff. I've got a room that is just plastered in board games.
You do. It's such a good room.
Thank you. I was so sorry when my son moved out, but I took over his room and made it into a board game room.
It's so appropriate.
The only icing on the cake. So, yeah, really, you can't really throw a nerd rock without hitting
but
me.
We had a really good conversation with Jim a couple of years ago about what is nerdiness and fandom.
Yeah.
And it takes so many different forms. If you're passionate about something, you could be considered a nerd nowadays, right? I mean, Jack, what are you a nerd about?
I don't know.
Radio?
Community radio.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I guess that's where my head goes immediately. I do get... I went to a grassroots radio conference in Spokane just a couple weeks ago.
That's nerdy.
That sounds nerdy.
Yeah, it's kind of, yes, it is a little nerdy. but yeah, there was, I guess that's probably my main fandom, my main nerdiness right now. Yeah.
My wife is into crochet, and I've told her the same thing. I'm all like, you know, it's so nerdiness has really been redefined. In fact, I've had conversations with Joyce where she's all like, can I call you guys nerds? And we're like, dude, we own it. Call us nerds, call us geeks, call us whatever you want. Like, that's our gig.
We accept it.
But yeah, sometimes it's crafting, sometimes it's, you know, whatever you're passionate about, really.
Yeah, and we're such a small community here that... if you have something you're passionate about, come by Sandemonium. If there's somebody that shares that with you, our whole vision is that we can create a space for those fandoms to come together, find people who share the same interests and passions, and connect within our community. It's a hard time getting out there and finding the person that also loves that one specific show or one anime or also likes to craft every Saturday on their cosplay costume. But if we can help people make those friends and connections, then we're succeeding in our mission. So come on by. It takes people to make that happen.
Absolutely.
We have more to talk about. I have more questions about the event itself. I also want to ask you about some current pop culture trends. See where you guys come down on a couple different things. But... we're talking right now to Cass Roberts and Michael Nickerson. I'm going to take a quick musical break because we have a full show. We got to cram something in here. later on, Festival at Sandpoint's Dara Collison will be here. And right now, it was on this date in 1995 that the band Oasis released their album, What's the Story, Morning Glory? That means it is now 30 years old.
Wow.
You guys, are you guys Oasis fans at all?
Yeah, I am.
Remember, remember
that
these
dates
days?
Me, though, doesn't it?
30 years ago.
30 years ago. Oasis. That's wild.
I saw that this was a significant date. It was literally came out on this day 30 years ago. Here's Wonderwall from that album.
And here's Wonderwall.
Yeah.
Here's Wonderwall. Yeah, Wonderwall.
Be right back talking more about Sandemonium in just a minute. It's the event is on October 11th, next weekend.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now, you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now.
Oasis, off the album What's the Story, Morning Glory, which came out in 1995 on this date. 30 years ago. You're listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Jack Peterson, and I'm here with Cass Roberts and Michael Nickerson from the Board of Directors of Sandemonium.
Woo!
Hey!
Hey! This is the annual celebration. Oh, I don't have the tagline up, but it's Sandpoint's annual celebration of fandom, comic books, movies.
All things nerdy.
All things nerdy.
Video games, tabletop games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Cosplay.
It's on October 11th at the East Bonner County Library. A couple of things we, I think, haven't mentioned yet. I guess we know there's a cosplay contest. What time is that? And how's that going to go?
Yeah. So participants can show up anywhere starting from 10 a.m. until probably around 2 o'clock to register. So no pre-registration online or anything like that required. You do need to sign a waiver and a participation agreement form. So make sure that if you're under 18, you've got a parent or guardian who can sign for you on behalf of yourself. And then if you have any props like fake swords, fake guns, things like that, you're welcome to bring them. But you will have to stop by and P-spawn them so we can mark it and make sure that we know it is just a prop and nothing threatening. And then we'll be announcing winners, getting that organized starting around 3 o'clock, and then grand finale around 3:30 for the cosplay contest. We have $100 grand prize for the first place cosplay this year. So that went up from previous years, hopefully incentivizing more nerds to show up in their costumes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then we've got a second and third place prize as well. And we are having a number of other fabulous prizes for the Mario Kart tournament minifigure painting contest. The minifigure painting contest will also be a day of event. We'll have a minifigure painting station set up where you can come by, grab a minifigure totally free again to participate and try painting for the first time or come flex your skills. And then if you want to enter your minifigure into the contest by the end of the day, you use the minifigure that you paint day of in the contest. So no need to haul your giant minifigure that you've been working on for 3 years from home. You can come and paint just there on site to enter that contest. And the Mario Kart tournament hosted by Colin or One Cool Dude
on
YouTube.
One Cool Dude.
Yes. We'll also have prizes lined up for that Mario Kart tournament. So if you crush it at Mario Kart, come by Sandemonium X on October 11th.
Which version of Mario Kart are we doing here?
Great question.
Yeah, that is a great question. I actually don't
know. Colin, we need you.
Yeah, Colin, where are you, man?
We'll try to find out for you guys here.
I will say that I encourage people to really come out and participate in whatever sounds fun to them. I think some people get caught up in the, well, you know, my costume's not going to be good enough to win something. Mm-hmm. I'm not the best Mario Kart player, or, you know, I'm not going to do a minifig that's going to knock over everybody. You know, gosh, that does not matter. Whether you want to join the contest or not, show up in costume. I mean, it's almost Halloween, for goodness sake. It's a good, you know, excuse to strut your stuff and have fun.
Totally. Mm. So many costumes fall into the cosplay realm nowadays.
Too. Right.
Chances are, like, even if you're not a big nerd yourself, you may have already dressed up as a character from some fandom or another during Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so come on out and just do it for funsies. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if the competition is your thing, that's awesome, but just come and have a good time. Come and have fun.
100%. Yeah.
Who's do you remember any past winners of the cosplay contest?
Go for it.
Yeah. Corey won last year. Yep.
For what? What did he dress as?
He did an original character, also known as an OC. In the industry. But he handmade, crafted all the parts of his costume, and it was very impressive. It felt like he was kind of throwing you back or into another place in time with his character that he portrayed with his costume. So we do have a number of different, what's the word I'm looking for?
Like what, categories?
Categories. That we use to judge the cosplay contest. And one of them is the amount of quality and care and time it took to craft. But also just like overall look and whether or not the person embraces their character.
Exactly. Presentation.
And you can show up with a totally purchased costume and cosplay and still cosplay and potentially win. But we do give some extra points for those cosplays that took that time and effort to curate.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can't remember the winner who did the Mandalorian.
So, yeah.
That was amazing. And they crafted that too.
Was that a first place win or a second place win? I was trying to remember and because it stands out in my mind too.
Yeah.
I think Molly has come both years as a Mandalorian character. And I think she's placed both years. I think second both years. But incredible costume, most definitely.
Yeah. If nothing else, show up just to come see the costumes that people put together.
Right.
It's a spectacle.
Let's see. What do you guys, is there anything else that you are most looking forward to that I haven't asked you about yet?
We talked about the bow.
We did.
Yeah. The food.
The food is so good.
Okay.
The cosplay, the minifig painting.
And a mini figurine. This is minifig. These are how big? And we can't use your words to describe it for the radio audience.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm such a hand talker.
Paint us a picture.
The minifigures we're providing are, an inch and a half tall?
About
those tiny little things.
Mm-hmm. They're usually used for tabletop role-playing games.
Yeah.
So when you're role-playing in Dungeons & Dragons, you can have a minifigure representing your character, and that helps you understand where your character is within the world that you're playing. Mm-hmm. So in combat, when you're moving, it becomes an important aspect. So if you are in need of a minifigure for your tabletop gaming needs, you can come and paint one here at Sandemonium. They're really cool. We were looking at all the different options that we got, and they're pretty fun.
So if you end up at the library, they've recently put together a display case with all kinds of nerdy stuff in it, including minifigures. So, I mean, if you want to take a look and see what, you know, we actually have an award-winning, he won an award, so we can say that now, an award-winning minifig painter that actually gives people tips and kind of, he's going to be floating around at the event and dropping in to kind of, you know, help people and get them started.
Yeah, he's kind of the leader of our minifigure painting community here at the library too. He hosts a weekly minifigurine painting, right? I think so. I hope that's right.
I was going to say, Brendan. Let's go with that.
Yeah. But
Brendan Bobby, we'll just name drop.
Yeah,
Brendan Bobby.
Pretty incredible, the community that he's put together around minifigure painting. Mm-hmm. And if you've never tried it before, give it a go. There is something uniquely soothing about painting a little character that you can keep on your shelf.
Have you guys ever been to any of the big, huge comic cons that we hear about in Seattle? The biggest one is probably San Diego, right?
I was going to say, I have been. It's been a while. I haven't been to a big con in a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time for me, too. I regularly used to attend Sakura Con in Seattle, and that was very fun. More anime convention. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been to a Comic Con in Santa Fe as well, and that was pretty good.
Nice.
Very fun. Yeah. What about you? What are your favorites?
I don't want to... it's been so long. I haven't been to a big con in forever. I will tell you that I was talking to my son just a couple of weeks ago, and he went to the Spokane Con this year and had a good time. I don't want to give them a hard time, but he did say, you know, Dad, I would actually rather be at Sandemonium. He's like, it's just more personal for him. He's like, you know, the big cons, he's like, it was fun to shop. Yeah. He's all like, that's what a lot of it was just vendors. He's like, after you've walked around and bought stuff and seen all the stuff that there is to see, he's all like, he's like, the panels didn't really resonate with me. I didn't feel like I was really connected with the community there. He's all like, Sandemonium just always feels so much like just more inviting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really nice.
That's so nice. Yeah. I mean, I love panels. Also the star power, getting to go meet some of your favorite actors.
That is cool.
Yeah. Viggo, come to Sandemonium.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
But that's one of my favorite things about the con, is being able to go shake the hand of somebody I've admired. Right.
Idolized maybe.
Yeah. Idolized. Maybe. Yeah. Stop. But yeah, the larger cons have definitely been an inspiration. That was something that the original board members really used to build Sandemonium after that first. I want to say the lore around Sandemonium is that it started as a like manga event at the library. I think they just and then people just showed up and it exploded. It's amazing the amount of passion there is in this community.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the board now, we've all attended cons and we try to emulate to the best of our ability that experience on our smaller scale. Maybe one day we can find that sponsor who's willing to provide us with the space for us to explode and do the larger con style experience.
And Sandemonium has evolved so much over the years. If you came 6 years ago, whatever your experience, and you're like, you know, I wonder what it looks like now. Come back. Come check it out. You know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Not to say that our current sponsors aren't doing an amazing job.
Oh, they are.
Yeah. The library, obviously, peak sponsor, giving us their space and all their support. We also are partnered with Sandpoint Gaming LLC. They'll be providing all of the consoles that we need for the Mario Kart tournament. And then Kiyoki Marketing and Media have been amazing with providing hosting for our website, 7bcon.com. That's design, hosting, graphic design, and print media design. That support has been amazing as well. If you are interested in sponsoring Sandemonium, there are many ways to sponsor, whether in goods, providing donations for prizes, providing money is always appreciated. Or if you have a venue space that you feel would be appropriate, or if you know somebody who you might want to hook us up with to talk about venue, you could be a main sponsor as well. But anything is appreciated. And just let us know at 7bcon.com what you'd like to do to contribute to this event.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the time has slipped away from us here. I was going to, we got to do a quick lightning round. What's the year 2025? What have you been watching? What have you been reading? What have you been, what have you liked this year? What's the best of 2025 as far as fits into kind of a Sandemonium nerdy community? We're close to the end. I mean, close enough to the end that I think we know all the big movies came out. We
had right.
Fantastic Four and the DC Superman.
I was going to say, I saw Superman.
Okay, between those two.
I haven't seen Superman yet. It's on our list. I'm a huge horror fan.
It's tough when you have a one-year-old.
It is.
Right?
And so a lot of my stuff. Yeah. But we've managed to get through the Alien Earth series
one's on my watch.
I'm a big Xenomorph fan in general. H.R. Giger, all of it, give it to me. So that has been our main watch. We just finished it, though, so they did the finale. What about you, Michael?
Vanessa and I actually have gotten old school lately. So my wife basically lived on a mountain for a very long time, and so I still get to rewatch awesome things that I love with her that she really enjoys but never got a chance to see. We just finished the 2000 run of like Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, yeah.
Which is so classic. Good. So good. Like, I remembered it being good, but then watching it again, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. I will say that The Mandalorian is kind of a guilty pleasure. I'm looking forward to The Mandalorian movie next year. Even though Grogu gets the giant billing.
It's so good, though.
It is. It's so good.
Yeah. Don't be... No guilt.
Andor? Thumbs up, thumbs down? What did you think?
Again, hear amazing things. I haven't gotten to watch Andor yet.
Any of it? Not even season one?
No. I've kind of been holding back because I'm like, I don't want to watch it until I just go crazy on it.
Oh, yeah. You like to binge.
Yeah, I do like to binge.
I watched some of the first season with my husband. Again, Ethan's the Star Wars nerd, but... Mm-hmm. He's enjoyed it. I liked it. I mean, the action was good. I I'm enjoying this expansion of the Star Wars universe quite a bit in general. Any other new peek into the way that the galaxy works is fascinating to me. So
I'm realizing that like so much of so much of the stuff in the last year, I'm like, man, that's on my list. Foundation, I hear incredible things about.
Yeah.
I've got family watching it. I've got friends watching it. And
I loved the books. Yeah. Isaac Asimov. Yeah,
back in the day, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, big sci-fi nerd. I love Dune. I love that Dune's kind of hit the mainstream again.
Agreed.
Yeah, it's expanded my community of Dune nerds so much.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good. I like how you have all this like new media coming up on my list. Battlestar Galactica.
Right. Let's watch Battlestar.
Let's go.
Yes.
Comfort watch.
Totally.
Okay. One more time before we go. It's October 11th, 10 to 4 at the East Bonner County Library at the corner of Division and Cedar here in Sandpoint. The event is Sandemonium. It's the big 10th anniversary.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Sandemonium.
Okay, do the arms, Cass. Sandemonium.
Oh, the arms.
Yeah.
Sandemonium X.
There you go.
You have to say it.
She had to put down her
you
coffee.
Show it.
She did put it, put it up there. That will be on, October 11th. And I think that's those are the full details, right? And you can learn more at 7bcon.com. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Awesome.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you both for coming in.
This is so fun.
Yeah.
We'll be talking to Derek Hollison in just a minute from the Festival at Sandpoint. Right now, it was on this date in 1965 that the McCoys were at number one with their biggest hit, and I think their only number one hit. Would either of you guys like to guess what it is?
Not I.
Okay.
No, sorry.
Let's see if you recognize this one. Back in a minute on the morning show. The McCoys with Hang On Sloopy, their big hit from 1965, which means that was 60 years ago, I guess, that Hang On Sloopy came out and was at number one on this date on the Billboard Hot 100. We just said goodbye, adios, live long and prosper to Cass Roberts and Michael Nickerson from the Board of Directors of Sandemonium, which is coming up on October 11th at the East Bonner County Library. Happy birthday to Michael. We didn't get to say that on the air, but it's Michael's birthday today. Now, Dara, don't call me Dara, Collison is in the studio from the Festival at Sandpoint to tell us. Well, I don't know what to tell us what. What's going on? It's not festival time. You guys don't have another concert series until next July and August.
Oh, it's always festival time.
Okay. That's right. That's what you're supposed to say. Okay, tell me in what way is it festival time? What do you guys do in October, so far away from the next festival, and no longer cleaning up actively from the previous festival. What does this kind of time of year look like for your organization?
Well, I think the big news for us is that Seasons Passes went on sale yesterday morning.
Yes. I got the email from I'm on your mailing list.
Yeah, for the 2020-2026 series. So they went on sale and we've actually already sold a fair amount. So that's pretty exciting for us.
That happens day one. People immediately mm-hmm. they'll get on the list.
Yeah, we had people visit us in the office and it's nice to start seeing, people back in and getting ready for whatever 2026 brings.
Does that mean the dates are already set?
The dates are already set, yes. We kind of have to adjust our dates a little bit each year to sort of stay in that last weekend of July and that first weekend of August.
Mm-hmm.
So for 2026, we will start our series on Thursday, July the 30th, and it will run until Sunday, August the 9th. That'll be our grand finale evening with fireworks.
The grand finale will have fireworks, as ever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Let's see. Do you ever have any competition for those days, or does the city of Sandpoint just kind of know?
I think they kind of just know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have
started working on our application for our lease for next year. So everyone's in the know of the dates and the times and when we need it. And
mm-hmm.
so, yeah, it's a great relationship that we have with the city for that. We're so lucky that they support us like that.
Yeah. Okay. Season tickets already going out the door.
Mm-hmm.
People are already buying them, snapping them up for next summer. And I guess the website people would go to for that is?
TheFestivalAtSandPoint.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's too early to ask you who's going to be playing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Too early for that. But hopefully we'll get some good people here soon.
Is it too early to even have any idea? Or do you guys already have names floating out there?
Oh, we have a wish list.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We have a wish list. And then we always reach out to our guests and our volunteers and mm-hmm. the community to see who they would like to see.
Yeah.
And we get a wide range of ideas.
Yeah.
So, and then our talent buying girl, she starts working on those. And I think, you know, this year she even tried to start working on those before we did our concert series this summer.
Yeah.
So it's a year round job for her trying to get the right talent and find out when they're coming through.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to make sure that they can be here when our window is very small
yeah.
for the days that we have our concerts.
So, yeah, when a big act is touring, they already know. I mean, is it already kind of known? Okay, these couple big bands are going to be in the Northwest,
they have a route. And so we try uh-huh. to kind of follow with them. And then it's a lot of communication between tour managers. And
yeah,
thankfully, that's not my world.
Not your job. Yeah.
No, sir.
Okay. Well, I suppose you can't say any names on the air, right?
Right.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Lips are sealed.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fine. That's fine. You don't have to tell us who you're going to get this for next year, but what else is going on besides getting prepped for next year and already looking at acts and things like that, and selling tickets.
Well, probably the most popular thing that we've got going on right now is our instrument library.
Uh-huh.
Our free instrument library, we do instrument checkouts for the school year, and you can come in to the festival office, pick out violas, cellos, double bass. We have trumpets, flutes, saxophone, guitars. We have a banjo, drum kits. I mean, we have kind of all of the things, and so you can come in. And you can check out the instrument for free. We do require a deposit, but when you bring your instrument back in working condition, we give you back your deposit. So essentially, it's a free, we don't like to call it a rental. It's more of a checkout, like a library. So we've been super busy renting out instruments for the kids that are in band right now. I think for some of our instruments, we may even have rented them all out for the year. But so we're always, always open to taking donations. If you've got a saxophone sitting in your closet, just collecting dust, and you want to find it a good home, just come by the festival office and we'd be happy to check it out, make sure it's in working order, and then pass it on to someone that'll love it as much as you did.
Have you played any instruments?
Oh, I dabbled in the clarinet once upon a time when I was in band in the sixth grade. It was a short-lived affair.
Oh, okay. You haven't asked Paul to bring out your inner Benny Goodman?
I did ask him for some ukulele lessons because I typically uh-huh. go to the farmers markets, and this Saturday I'll be at the Winter Ridge Neighborhood Fair, and so I take a lot of the instruments for kids to look at and touch and, mm-hmm. and play around with, and I sometimes pick up a ukulele, but I can't make any good sounds come out mm-hmm. of it, so... So that's on my list of things to learn from Paul.
Yeah. Well, we all have things we'd like to learn from Paul. Like, for example, how to repair. What did you tell me right before we turned on the mic?
He's repairing a cello currently.
He's repairing a cello.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's an interesting process to watch.
What does one do? Is there glue involved?
There's glue. There's yeah. tiny little tools that do uh-huh. things with strings. And I mean, the man is a magician. So it's been fun to watch his process for that. So it's really great when someone brings something in or, you know, that might need a little bit of love. He's able to, if he can't do it, he certainly knows the people that can do it.
And that that cello is going to go end up back in the library or in the
so some, it will go back into circulation.
Someone can check it out and start playing the cello.
A lot of the people that check out our instruments are kind of middle school band kids. And then we also partner with a local instructor to do the youth strings orchestra. And they just started up their fall kind of school year session last Monday, I believe, was their first class. And so there's a beginning youth strings orchestra that meets for an hour, and then it moves into kind of a continuing orchestra. And then they do a performance in December, and they do a performance in May. So it's really fun to see these kids. It's geared more toward kids that already play an instrument, and they want more practice being part of an ensemble or kind of some deeper knowledge. And it's the cost is great. I mean, it's free. And they meet on Mondays at the St. Joseph's Church over on Lincoln.
Okay. And they do a couple performances every year. Mm-hmm. And I guess if someone's listening and wanted to get involved or wanted their kid to start getting involved in that the festival youth orchestra, what would they do?
You can call the festival at Sandpoint office, 208-265-4554. Or again, go on our website. You can send an email to info@festivalatsandpoint.com. And we will get that information over to our instructor and connect the people that want more information on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Dara, did you happen to catch my conversation with the Sandemonium
kids? I did. Okay. I did. Sounds like a fun time happening over at the library this weekend.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. I was trying to see if I could tie that together in some way. Is there do people ever come in costume to the festival at Sandpoint?
You know, we do have our photographer. One of our lists of pictures we want her to take each year is festival outfits, and so we do kind of have quite a collection of interesting festival wear. Mm-hmm. So that's always fun to go back and look at. I believe this year we had someone dressed up in a banana costume.
All right.
So that was kind of the highlight for us as we go back through those photos and pick what we're gonna put out on the social medias for the upcoming year. And this guy in a banana costume, he was fully committed to his costume. So it was fun to see that.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. We only have a couple minutes left. Other important information you want to get out there about the festival at Sandpoint?
Yeah, the other important thing that we've got going on right now is our annual poster contest. So that is open to the public. It closes on February 2nd. So we accept any kind of medium. You want a quilt? Something that the festival inspires you to make a quilt masterpiece.
Ooh.
We've had some beautiful quilts submitted. You can do watercolor, whatever medium is your preferred way to paint or get that art out there. We accept all of the art, and then we do a vote on it in February or March, and then that person gets their art splashed out everywhere. I think this year our poster artist was hugely popular. Mm-hmm. We do put the poster on a t-shirt, and we sold out of all but those kind of extreme sizes. And because people just, they loved Perky's poster and the birds, it was amazing. So that is a really fun way to get your art out into the community. It's a good collaboration that we try to do to support our artists in Sandpoint.
How do you pick? How is one chosen of all the submissions?
Well, there's a panel, and we kind of go through and pull maybe the top 10 that we think are probably the best. And then we've got a rubric that we go for, and we just sort of sit down and hash it out. And maybe someone likes this, or maybe someone likes that. And we all talk about the reasons why we think that it speaks to the festival.
This is KRFY
88.5
Ponderé.
So that's kind of our process. It's fun and organic, and it was probably one of my favorite things I got to do this year.
You were on it. You're on the festival, or you're on the panel.
I got to be on the panel.
Oh, cool!
Since I had just started my position, and so it was fun to learn about how everything works, and I got to be a part of that process. It was really nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, that voice that interrupted us there was a gentleman named Matt Jablon, who tells us that it's 9 o'clock in the morning. And that means our time Our time draws to a close here. Dara Collison from the Festival at Sandpoint. What's your title again? You are the...
Development and Community Engagement Coordinator.
I had it right here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so you'll see me out and about in town. I'm out and about doing stuff and always excited to talk to the people of Sandpoint and find out more how we can make the festival just a better experience for everybody.
You mentioned just a second ago you're going to be at the people can come and see you at the Winter Ridge Neighborhood Fair this weekend.
Yes, we'll be there 11 to 4.
Any other community events that you'll be on your calendar right now that you can...
Not at the moment. I will be attending events, but not really hosting any at this time. But it just kind of depends on what comes up. And if I feel it's the right place for us to be, then you'll see me there.
Thanks so much for dropping by.
Thanks for having us.
It's always nice to talk to you. Stay tuned for Bird Note, everybody, and Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long after that. One more time, I will mention that the KRFY's online auction is going on, and it closes on the on the 5th, which is this Sunday. So you only have a few more days. This is the last morning show where you'll hear me say that the online auction is going on. There are some great deals to be had, including, I will say that right now there's only one bid in for the naming rights for the house band for KRFY's 2025 Holiday Spectacular. So if you want to outbid my mother, you can name the band that Paul Gunter will be performing in our holiday show on December 5th.
Oh, I think the festival might be able to put something together and bid on that. That sounds really amazing.
It could
be.
Yeah, so you can buy those naming rights. I think my mom is the leading bid right now. I'm not sure. There's actually that's just one I wanted to point out, ties into the festival a little bit, but there's a lot of great stuff on there. I believe our own Jim Healy put in a roll of postage stamps that, because he bought them long enough ago, you can save a great deal of money on postage by buying the postage for, you know, anyway. As the stamps go up and up and up in price. What's so funny over there? What are you laughing about, Dara?
It's just an interesting donation. As someone that works with a festival auction procurement, I am always trying to find new and unique things to put on our auction, and I'm amused. That's a great, great, unique auction.
Well, you buy them in 2017 at that price, and now they've gone, what, have they doubled in price in the last 10 years? Anyway, get them now, I would say. Enough about that. There's a lot available. I have heard, this is the truth, I have heard that this is the best year ever from unbiased parties. So at least check it out. biddingforgood.com/KRFY. Time now for Bird Note. Thanks so much for coming in, Dara.
Yeah. Okay.